Lalo is the modern baby and toddler company that millennial parents-to-be are buzzing about. But they're not trying to compete with the Carters, Honest Companies, and Huggies of the world. Or at least not just yet. That's because the direct-to-consumer brand currently offers just two products, the daily stroller and the chair. And for now, Lalo is focused on two things, a great product and an unbeatable customer experience. Today, we're talking to Lalo co-founder, president, and CMO, Michael Weider, to find out what it takes to create a booming baby brand. I'm your host, Kara Hogan, and this is The Empowered Marketer. The Empowered Marketer is brought to you by Zayus, the CRM that helps you understand your buyers to build a compelling and comprehensive customer journey. Learn more at Zayus.com. That's Zayus.com. Michael Weider has always been an entrepreneur and a marketer, whether he was working in music or sports. But it wasn't until he and his co-founders started growing their families that they recognized a consumer need in the baby market that wasn't being met by big box retail.
I have two co-founders, Greg and Jane, and it really stemmed from both a place of personal experience in Jane's case of having two kids and going through the process of shopping for her babies. And for Greg and myself, it really stemmed from a place of empathy and seeing our friends struggle. And at the time of starting the business, my wife and I had just started trying to have our first child. Greg and I were talking about, I was like, we need to solve this before I have a kid, because this is crazy. No one shops for anything the way they shop for their babies. And there's a bit of kind of this millennial parent revolt right now against the big box store and shopping for their baby, because they are just completely underserved and it's so overwhelming. And I just remember this, that early on in starting the business, we went to one of those big box stores and I saw a couple, and they were standing there in the aisle looking at strollers, and they were on their phone Googling. And I just walked up to them and I said, what's the number one word you would use to describe how you feel right now? And they just looked at me and said, overwhelmed. And I had asked them a couple more questions. It turns out they had been there three times. They still didn't know what they wanted, and no one was helping them. They were turning to Google in the store to figure out what they needed. So that was like a clear sign that, you know, a brand that really cared about parents was needed. And, you know, you ask about what makes our products so great. And, you know, I think our products are amazing and they're extremely thoughtfully designed. They're meant to last and grow with families. But ultimately, it comes down to our experience. And that's what we're trying to change. We know we make, you know, amazing premium products, but we're trying to really be there for parents through the entire process of shopping for their babies and their toddlers in this next generation of parents. So that's what we're up to.
Yeah, that sounds great. I very much relate to that story because I'm 7 months pregnant right now.
So congrats.
Thank you. I really did have a similar experience of just Googling things, reading all these various lists of top strollers, top car seats, all of these things that are, and you never know like who's getting paid to write that review or who's, you know, neutral and who you can trust to give you good recommendations. It's so challenging. And this market is super competitive. There's hundreds of brands. So how do you differentiate yourself from all of those competitors?
There's definitely a fair amount of competition in terms of the pure number of brands. Obviously, in the premium, once you get into the premium side of things, that starts to narrow a little bit, but there's still incumbent brands that are out there. The real difference between us and them is the way the brands are set up today is the only time they talk to a customer is when there's a problem. They have a warranty issue, their product is broken, that's when they get the customer's information because they don't own the relationship. So where we come in as a direct-to-consumer brand is we're able to talk to our customers every single day. And we're able to talk to them about positive things, happy things, be there along for the joy of being a parent and the milestones they hit with their children. So where we really stand out is we can kind of personify our brand and be there for our customers in a totally different way than the brands of yesterday are the brands of the future. Us will be there in the lives of parents and show up to celebrate with them as their kid starts to walk or as they start potty training. So both these exciting times and these scary times, There will now be a brand that they can talk to and turn to, both from a service perspective, but from a product perspective too.
And so you mentioned the, you know, premium brands versus different tiers. What's your target audience for Lalo specifically? Do you consider yourself premium, or how are you finding the right buyers for these products?
Sure. So, you know, our real target audience is, you know, millennial parents. In particular, we find ourselves extremely useful and beneficial to first time parents and those having tougher time navigating the waters. You know, it's very interesting in this space because baby products stand alone in the sense that the consumer, especially for the first time consumer, you've reached an inflection point in your life where you now have so many purchasing decisions, literally thousands of purchasing decisions within the first year. They say you make 150 purchasing decisions as a parent in the first year and spend almost $4,000 on gear in the first year. And these are all products you've never touched or used before. So you have no basis of comparison. It's very, very hard to think of another category where that's the case, where you're forced to make so many purchasing decisions for products you've never used before. That's, you know, an extremely difficult challenge in finding your target audience. But one of the biggest shifts, I think, in retail and consumer brands in general over the last couple of years has been the definition of luxury or the definition of premium in general. So our price point, you know, is for our stroller is about 40 to 50% less than some of the premium competitors out there, and is about 30 to 50% less than some of the premium competitors on the high chair. So we fit in this weird middle, what would traditionally be a weird middle ground in price. And people always like say to avoid that weird middle ground. However, what's extremely compelling about that middle ground is in this new definition of luxury and premium is you can appeal to the traditional buyer that would spend, let's say, on the stroller $1,000 plus and make them feel great about their purchase. It aligns with their lifestyle, but they didn't need to spend that extra money. And for someone that is traditionally looking at a lower priced item, they might feel aspirational enough and it's attainable enough to reach a little bit. There's been a huge shift over the last couple of years in that definition of premium and luxury that, you know, we feel we fit squarely in to attract kind of both sides.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So how are you conveying that message to the buyers, and, you know, what are the most effective marketing channels for you to reach them?
Obviously, the value that we deliver in our products is a big part of that. One of the things we wanted to do from day one with all of our products and our pricing strategy and how we sold to people is make sure we were actually taking care of parents in that. One of the biggest things is the lack of information. You said, you know, you're going to Google, you don't know who to trust. So we wanted to give the most honest information. What do you need? What do you need today? And we do that by bundling things really clearly. So for our stroller, all of the accessories come with the stroller. You don't have to go out and be upcharged again and again and again, and also guess what you need and what you don't need. We deliver what you need and it comes in a package. For example, car seat adapters, which allow you to click your car seat into the stroller. Brands will charge $50 or $60 for these accessory pieces. We include them because you need them. They help you be on the go if you're, you know, someone that's in and out of a car. So, you know, that's one way we differentiate. Or the tray, you know, for the high chair, there are brands that just sell you the chair and then the tray and the straps and the harness, everything to make it a high chair is extra. And as a first time user of these products, you have no idea what you need, and you get home with the product and then you find out you didn't buy the right thing. So we do that, you know, to make sure everybody's taken care of and understands exactly what they need. In terms of the channels to kind of, you know, market to our target audience and convey these messages of our products, it's really broken down. You know, we're still in brand building mode, brand awareness building mode. And, you know, it's been extremely important to have a strong Instagram presence, both organically and paid, to give, you know, to kind of put the brand persona out there and have really strong creative that goes along with that. And differentiated creative as well. The creative that's been traditionally in this space is, you know, embarrassing almost. We felt that the bar was so low coming into this space that, you know, we can make a big difference. We can really stand out in what we do. So that's been a huge important channel for us. Influencer has been really important to us. Review sites and press have been tremendous for us. The number one thing we knew coming into this was we would have to build validation and trust as fast as possible. Parents need to feel like they can trust your products with their baby. It's their most precious thing in their life. And for us, that was the number one challenge, was how were we going to build trust as fast as possible out of the gate? And that's, you know, something we still, that's still something we talk about every day.
You know, you talked about creating programs around influencers and getting on those review sites. Do you consider word of mouth really important when targeting parents, maybe more so than other audiences?
Yeah, so word of mouth is so important in this space, and that's the ultimate trust or validation, right? And when you think about the customer journey in this space, it often starts in two places, with a friend or on Google. That's where it starts. And how do we show up strong in those places? Number one is, you know, by creating a brand and products people love, being visible to people. It's been so important to us to have a strategy when we launched the stroller to even talk to people that already have a stroller, knowing that they weren't going to buy it, just so they can recommend it to their friend to check out. That's been a big part of our strategy. There is an inflection point in which word of mouth should be most of it in this space. If people are talking about the products, people will buy it. And that, I think, is more true in this industry than anywhere else. But it is a bit about how all these things work together. Instagram, word of mouth, influencer, review sites, they all come together, you know, very holistically to build that trust and validation. If you're on a review site, but you've never been seen on Instagram, it's not going to come together. If you're you're seen on Instagram and someone goes to Google and they can't find a review, it's going to fall flat. Or their friends have never heard of it. When they go ask them, it's going to fall flat. So it's really about how these all come together.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense to me. I know that's been my experience, is I feel like I often see the brand first on Instagram and then do research, see things on Google, talk to people. And yeah, it's that whole multi-touch customer journey that everyone's always talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at data today, and of customers that, so first of all, 30% of our customers say they heard about us from a friend already. That's 3.5 months into the business. So that's something we're feeling really good about. But also, when you ask people where they heard about us, they say they heard about us via Instagram, but when you look at the data, they're actually coming via Google. So it is holistic in a sense that people are seeing us, there's awareness, they feel good about it. They're not necessarily clicking that ad. They're then going to Google to search for reviews, find the website, look up the product, see where you rank on Google, all of those things that kind of ladder up to conversion.
Mm. Yeah, it's such an interesting customer experience, and I feel like it's shifting all the time. So obviously you're currently selling just direct to consumer, but would you ever consider selling through retailers in the future? Obviously that's maybe a bit down the road, but what do you think are the pros and cons of starting the business as just D2C?
So D2C is amazing, and one of the, what I mentioned before, is that the power of direct to consumer is how close you are to the consumer and the customer. And if you view them as users and part of a community, that's everything. So one thing that we did at launch was we said we're going to be online, but we always wanted to have physical presence, especially in this category. People do want to see the products. And so we launched a showroom in New York City. So we have a physical retail space that's a beautiful fourth floor Soho loft. It looks just like a beautiful home. And people are able to come in, meet with a member of our staff one-on-one, sit on a couch, get a cold beverage, really explore the products, take it out on the streets for a test drive, or pull it up to a kitchen table and see what it'd look like in a home. And that's been tremendous to us. So where we're most focused on is growing that. Growing our own physical presence, whether it be in New York and other urban areas, or some of these more underserved secondary and tertiary cities that are very underserved by the big box experience.
So you started out by selling just the stroller and then really quickly expanded to also offering a high chair. What was behind that decision?
Yeah, so there were a few things that were behind that decision. Number one, we collect data on our customers. Every single one of our customers gives us their birth date and our due date of their child. And what that allows us to know is where in the lifespan of their child or what milestone they're fast approaching. And the CDC has been tracking developmental milestones of children for years, right? We didn't have to rebuild this data. It's something it's right there at our fingertips. So we were able to see very quickly that a large percentage of our customers were buying the stroller for a newborn or a child under 3 months old. And what that told us is the next big milestone that they're going to hit is sitting up and eating solid foods and starting solids. And the next big product that is around that milestone is a high chair. So we were able to leverage that data to quickly come out with a product that would meet our existing customer where they were going to be. So could we get, you know, a month or two ahead of when they hit that milestone, which, you know, most people start solid foods between 4 to 6 months, depending on the development, sometimes a little bit later, depending on the child, and that's all good. But we wanted to be there for our existing customers while still attracting new customers, people that we might have missed out on the stroller. So people maybe that were at that 6, 7, 8 month mark, they already had a stroller, but we wanted to enter their lives while they were still in that milestone. So we track very, very closely what the ages of our customers, so we can be there with that next product and the next product, and we can fill in the gaps throughout. But that's extremely important to us. And it was also really important to us to solidify ourselves as a baby goods company. We're not a stroller company. And day one, we knew publicly we looked like a stroller company. We had one product. It was a stroller. So why wouldn't we be a stroller company? So coming out with a vastly different product, having a product that's both one that's in the home and one that's on the streets, you know, allowed us to really say, hey, we're here for the modern family. We're here as a baby goods company and a brand that will be in your life no matter where you're at in your child's development.
And so it sounds like you have plans to expand further and do maybe more milestone type products. Anything you'd like to share or not yet?
Yeah. So that's definitely how we think about product development. So all of our product development, Jane, who's my co-founder and is our chief product officer, she's constantly evaluating, you know, what products are next based on the milestones that our customers are going through. What gaps can we fill in? How far out can we go? I mean, for example, one thing about our high chair that's amazing is that it's built to last. So it's a 2-in-1 high chair play chair. So yes, it's there for that milestone, but it's going to be there for many more as kids have their first play date, as they start to color and draw and do different things and start to learn our play chair can be used as the first chair they sit in to do, you know, a homework assignment. It will be there for years and years to come. So, you know, that is kind of the driving force across all of our product development. Right now, we're primarily working on some products around our existing kind of hero products, our chair and the daily stroller. That's what's going to come next. Hopefully some stuff before the end of the year, and then some bigger things maybe in 2020.
And so I think it's super interesting that you're using something as simple as just a birth date to customize this experience and, you know, market more effectively to your customers. Are you using customer data in any different ways? Like, are there any other similar things that you're using in that way?
So the birth date or due date of the child not only powers our product development, it obviously powers our marketing, but it also powers our online experience and our customer experience in shopping and delivery. So we introduced something new to this market, which was called Shop Now, Ship Later. It is exactly what it sounds like, but parents want to check things off their list, but baby gear usually comes in a pretty large box, and you don't and you don't need these things until you need them. So instead of having a stroller box that doubles as a coffee table or collects dust in a garage, we actually dynamically suggest when you should ship the product. So if you come in your second trimester and you want to just check it off the list, you're done. We actually would recommend that you get it near the beginning or middle of your third trimester. And then it's shipped on time. It's guaranteed. So even if, you know, you have a baby early, before that, we'll make sure it gets to you on time. We'll overnight it to you. whatever we need to do to get it in your hands on time. But at least it's, and we've never had that situation, thankfully, but it's there in your hands. Or for the high chair, like I said before, you don't start solids until you're a few months in, but a lot of people are getting this gifted via a registry or buying it for themselves, checking out their list because they're going to have their hands full once the kid arrives. So at that point, we actually ship it a few months after the kid is born. So it's already coming, you know, you have it, but we power that all off that single data point. And that's really important to us. But we're always looking at data, the data around where our customers are and where we have the most traction will power the decisions around retail and where we go next. So we're always, you know, kind of rigorously looking at data.
I love that. That's brilliant. How do you incorporate, you know, customer feedback? You're looking at the data, you're looking at how people are behaving and all this information they're giving you. Do you also collect kind of more manual feedback to maybe improve the product or improve the customer experience?
Yeah, I think we probably communicate with customers more than any baby goods company out there. And we do it in modern ways. So, I mean, we text our customers. We video chat with our customers. We don't wait for them to come to us with feedback. We're reaching out. We've done a lot of kind of quick text surveys, answer with an emoji or a number, and that gives us a ton of data. And that's been really, really helpful for us. We love feedback from anything, whether it be the website, our loft, or the product. We know that these are V1 products. They're great. But just like any company that's out there, you always improve. You always incorporate feedback. So every little thing we hear, we code and put into it, you know, a database of feedback so that we can go back to it later or get on it right away, depending on what it is.
That makes sense. Love that. So now we're getting into some of my like fun questions that I ask everybody. So what's a one time that you failed and what did you learn from that experience?
I think one time with Lalo, you know, one of the biggest things with our space here in New York is we do a lot of community building and events and all different sorts of things. It could be, we've done classes on designing your nursery. We've had family days where people come in for sing-along and story time and all sorts of things like that. We've done parenting classes around lactation and sleep training and all those different topics. And there've been a couple of events where, you know, there's 20 RSVPs, we're expecting a good turnout in our space, and then one person or zero people turn out. And you have to like really manage what's worth the time. And we've learned just like that parents in particular and expecting parents have a lot on their plate. And what can you do to make the juice worth the squeeze? That's been important to us. And, you know, kind of shifting things. So we're playing around with ideas for upcoming event series where it's donation based. So they're not free events, but we're attaching them to a cause. So people have some sort of commitment to be there, but it's all going forward to a cause that matters. So that's a bit about kind of a slight failing that has led to learning.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Parents are busy. It's hard to show up in an event.
Yeah.
And so kind of on the flip side, I'd love to hear about something that was incredibly successful, whether it was a marketing campaign or something else that you tried that was surprising and fun.
Yeah, so the launch of our high chair has been amazing. So we launched 3.5 weeks ago. We sold out of our first run of high chairs in the first week. One color, our white high chair, sold out in 7 hours. And there were a lot of different things that went into that. We had a wait list. We worked with some influencers, all kind of unpaid. We've kind of penetrated this just celebrity market a little bit to help grow what we're doing. And I think one thing we've learned is that this word of mouth with today's generation of parents and just like the kind of world of digital marketing and social media, the definition of your friend's advice and word of mouth has changed. Your friend can be your friend since elementary school who you've gone through everything with, or it can be your friend on the internet who you've never seen their face except for in their profile picture. And those friends can sometimes hold equal power in your life in purchasing decisions. So, you know, how do you tap into the power of word of mouth or referral or recommendation in really powerful ways to drive success and that's been really what's powering the launch of the High Chair, is that majority of people, I mean, we haven't increased our marketing spend. We haven't really sent it to like a crazy amount of influencers. Press is, you know, there's been a couple pieces, but there's not been like a deluge of articles and reviews coming out every single day. Although we just got named the number one high chair by an outlet. So that's exciting. So it's starting to come through, but all up until now, you know, we're just going to be getting back in stock tomorrow, but that's been really, really amazing to see how the launch of a product can power marketing and in a space like this. And it's also kind of raised momentum for the stroller too, which was going great. And then we launched the High Chair, and it adds more visibility to the brand, more excitement around the brand, and kind of this high tide lifts all boats has really been true.
The company's still really new, but what does the future look like? What are you most excited about? And what are some of your big plans going forward?
We want to replace the baby gear aisle in every big box store, the baby gear section in every big box store. We want to be there with this generation of parents for years to come and create products that are with them through all the milestones they go through with their children. Some of the biggest things we're working on, I think, you know, I mentioned retail and how we change that experience at a grander scale. That's probably the most exciting thing we're thinking about and working on from a marketing perspective, is how effective retail can be as a channel for us. It's our highest converting channel. When someone comes into our showroom, we convert at 60% of all people that come in. Obviously, that's thousands and thousands times greater than any online conversion rate. So I think that's something that's big, that's potentially coming at the end of 2019 and early 2020 is our retail expansion. And, you know, I think you can count on Lalo's stores popping up potentially in markets in the next few years.
To learn more about Lalo, go to meetlalo.com or find them on Instagram at Lalo. Would you buy a baby product from a direct-to-consumer brand? We'd love to hear about it. Send me an email at empoweredmarketer@zayas.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I'll see you lovely humans again in 2 weeks.